She's reclusive, a mystery. She communicates in type. A family trip was planned, with the Antarctic in sight.
One day, she's gone, disappeared without a trace. It's up to her daughter, a reality to face.
An enigma to solve, Bee was dead set.
Where did you go, Bernadette?
Cool.
Cool?
It's fine.
No, it's okay. It's fine.
It was fine. It's fine. You know, no presentation tool on the internet works the way I wanted it to.
Maybe you should just code your own, Danielle.
You know what? Maybe I should. I actually tried to code my own Alexa app. Because, because I talk about it all the freaking time, Kingdom Hearts 3, I'm really looking forward to it. And I wanted it, so, you know, you have an Echo, right?
Mm-hmm. We have plenty of them. Okay. I think we have 2 towers, 3 dots, and a show.
Oh, man, girl. I want to get a show. I won't get it anytime soon. But when I move out, I'll get it. Where was I going with this? Oh my god, my mind just blanked.
You're trying to code your own Alexa app.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow, that was a brain fart for sure. Anyway,
I'm a listener.
Thank you. Yes, you are. So, I wanted to do this thing where, like, you know how you have, like, Alexa start my day.
Mm-hmm.
So it will read your, like, do your flash briefing where you can say, like, oh, Alexa, you know, what's going on in this news from NPR or whatever you want to listen to. So I wanted it to be where in the start of my day, I could say, like, 38 days till Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out. Like, but
you wanted a countdown type
right.
of thing.
Well, there are no countdowns besides, like, holiday countdowns that can be put on the start of my day or flash briefing. It just does not exist. And I looked it up and people they want it, but Amazon just doesn't have it right now. So I thought, well, maybe I'll code it myself. I tried. I signed up for the Alexa coding thing. I thought I could figure it out. I threw my hands up. I was like, that's it. I'm done.
You know that people have degrees in coding, right?
Look, I don't care.
I'll just wing it and figure it out. It'll be completely okay.
I mean, I know some HTML code, you know. I know how to make an image.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Not by heart. I have to look it up usually to remind myself, but I know how to do it.
Yeah.
I know how to make a font italics, you know.
Good. Oh, wait, so, like, you're not creating an image by itself, you're just putting an image in?
No. If I put an image in on the website. But
I see.
But I think coding for Alexa is a bit different than HTML. I mean, it probably is, I'm going to assume. It's a completely different type of code.
Oh, I'm sure it has to be.
Yeah, so I just gave up. But they do have a thing now called Blueprints, where you can make your own Alexa app thing. Mm. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do it. But it still doesn't work in the flash briefing, so bummer. But I did make an app where you can ask Alexa, you'll say, Alexa, open Kingdom Hearts countdown. And then I have her say something funny in the opening. And then she says how many days are left. And then she has a closing statement. So, like, for example, she'll say, like 69 days until you save Aqua, like, which is a character in Kingdom Hearts 3. And it'll say, Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out in blah, blah, blah days. And then she'll say, get ready to take a whole week off of work, you nerd, or something like that. Sorry, I just totally spit across the room.
I was laughing at the nerd, not you spinning. Yeah. That's really funny.
I love it. But it's funny, too, because there's a character in the game called Xion, but it's spelled X-I-O-N. So, like, I would never pick up how to
Zion.
Pronounce that.
Yeah.
So I wrote, a lot of people will say, Xion lives. So I wrote that as one of the things. Well, Alexa just didn't get it because she said, something like what you just said, kind of like Zion, Zion lives. And I was like, it did not go down like
that's
I thought it
really
would.
Funny.
So I got to get rid of that one. But yeah, that's my adventures in Alexa land.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm
you
proud
know,
of myself.
All of that, what we just said, has absolutely no relevance of what we're doing today. What are
not
we doing
at all.
Today?
We are talking about Where'd You Go, Bernadette, part 3.
Part 3.
And oh boy.
It starts on page 137 for
Oh, should we
copy.
Introduce ourselves?
I guess.
No, probably. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Brittany.
And welcome to the Books as Bad as Twilight podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Let's just get it out of the way. This episode is brought to you by Audible. And we're going to talk about it later in the show. Okay. No, go away. Video, no.
You said you weren't going to play the video.
I didn't. I just clicked.
You stopped it, though.
Hang on. Let's try. Okay, there we go. I got this. See, I told
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I'll just have to do, I guess it automatically plays the video. Oh, yeah, audible.com. Oh. Okay.
For some reason, I thought that was an R, so I'm like, Rudible.
Rudible.com.
Audible.com.
Yes, they're our sponsor today.
I know, just like every day.
Yes, every day. Every podcast, every day. Okay, anyway, where was I going with that?
I don't know. Tell them what you could get when you use our link at audibletrial.com/BABAT, Danielle.
Well, they can get a 30-day trial and a free audiobook of their choice. You have over 180,000 titles. That's like 240 some now.
I thought that was 400 and some.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. We always,
I tried to look it up and I couldn't find it. So many. We were told 180,000 titles, but in the past, Brittany has looked it up and it's been much more than that. So, you know, it's a lot of titles. Okay, just saying. So we're going to have a recommendation later in the episode, but for now, we're going to get into stuff. All right, folks, so we're going to move into talking about this chapter now. I apologize. It's been a while since I've read it. So what page does yours start on?
It starts on 137. Part 3, Menace to Society.
Oh, man.
So part one, or 2, we left off with Bernadette basically pouring out her goddamn heart to an old contractor friend of hers.
Correct.
And it goes on for pages and pages and pages. And she's basically talking about... this is where she's talking about how...
like the miracles, like with, like her relationship with Elgin.
Mm-hmm. And how, like... how hard it was her when she lost her kids, mm-hmm. and she's talking about her old projects, yep. and all this type of stuff, and why they had to move to Seattle, mm-hmm. and how it's all raining. She doesn't fit in, and she hates everything.
Yep.
And it's just, it's a whole lot of stuff.
Correct.
You get a lot of backstory with Danielle in this. And we learned about...
Danielle.
I don't know why I said Danielle.
That's so funny.
Why did I say Danielle?
I don't know. What were you going to say?
Bernadette.
That is so funny.
So we learned a lot about Bernadette in this. And we learned that Bernadette... somebody's writing a story about her, mm-hmm. Being one of the greatest architects of their time.
Right, right.
And she's an unsung hero. That we learned about the 20 by 20 by 20 house, yes. and the eyeglass factory, all this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of part 2, you just have her friend responding with, Bernadette, are you done? You can't honestly believe any of this nonsense. People like you must create. If you don't create, Bernadette, you will become a menace to society. From Paul.
Which I don't. Look, that's a little harsh.
That is so harsh. And, like, she's pouring her heart out, and he's just like, are you done? But we could interpret that in different ways.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because that's how I first interpreted it, but you were, like, saying, like, how did you say it
like,
the other way?
He could be like, are you done? Like, are you finished creating? Are you,
right,
are you over?
Right.
Like, is this it?
Which is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that can be taken multiple ways.
And it's very hard, because it's... text.
Right, it's text.
It's text. So we're talking, like, off mic about how much we like person-to-person conversation, because it's easier to understand one another because of tone of voice, body language, so on and so forth. So she is receiving this via email.
Right.
So all of her worries about her being insane could be summed up in that very first sentence from a good friend of hers.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And for her, like, that's just kind of a... almost like a slap in the face, almost. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, it's like your worst fears
mm-hmm.
suddenly come to life. In either interpretation, really. Because either one way, it's like my opinion or my feelings aren't valid.
Mm-hmm.
And in another way, it's like admitting the fact that I am done mm-hmm. and I just have never internalized that.
Because
I really wonder, maybe she, I feel like she sort of has with Bee's birth and stuff that she just decided.
Oh, she made that deal.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like in some ways she has, but in other ways she's still dealing with that. And she
she's
isn't...
craving it so bad.
Yes.
That's why she bought that whole, that school.
Yeah.
Because she wants to create. She wants to create.
Yeah.
And she's, and it's so funny that that's how he left it off, because we see how Bernadette does become a menace to society in this third part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting.
I'm laughing at the very beginning of this part.
Oh my god. This.
What's her name?
Audrey.
Audrey's a fucking nutcase. And I love it. Oh and I hate god. It. And I love it.
This woman. Okay, so she like writes this. It's like a Christmas letter to everybody. And it's supposed to be like the night before Christmas. Or yeah, 'twas the night before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically like saying like that she's staying in a hotel. Right? The Westin. Yeah. And just trying to make it sound so much better than it actually is.
Yeah, we moved to the Westin, but do not despair. When we saw the rooms here are... What? When we saw that the rooms here are beyond compare.
Mm.
So, like, oh, okay, we're staying at the Westin. They're not staying at, like, fucking name a fancy hotel.
Hilton? I don't know.
Is that fancy?
It can be. That's not very fancy.
I'm trying to think of like a one in New York or something.
The Marriott. The Plaza Hotel.
The Plaza. Yeah, exactly. They're not staying at Trump Tower.
Brittany.
Who wants to? But they're not staying at this like ritzy place. They're staying at basically the Red Roof Inn.
Right.
You know?
Yes, so true.
So.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. And Sue Lynn, after getting this beautiful letter from
so
Audrey.
They get this letter because their house is destroyed by a mudslide. That's right, from yeah. Bernadette,
in case you forgot. And so Sue Lynn's like, oh, Audrey, and I was so worried that, you know, you weren't doing well through the mudslide, but after reading that letter it sounds like you're doing great. Which is just hilarious. Like,
I fucking hate them both.
You know what's funny, because it was only this part that I started hating Sue Lynn. I didn't hate her in the beginning parts.
Yeah, she was very like run over by Aubrey or Audrey. Yeah. Whatever the hell her name is. Audrey.
That's funny.
Who is she sending it to? Does it just say Griffin?
Let me see.
Yeah, it just says the Griffin family Christmas letter. So this goes out to everyone.
She's literally, I think of Desperate Housewives when I think of her. Like, she is just so, I don't know, just so wrapped up in her own dramas and I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she totally is. You know, like, she doesn't give a shit about Sue Lynn. And Sue Lynn's supposed to be her best friend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, she treats her like garbage.
Absolute trash.
Yeah. And Sue Lynn's kind of like, oh, well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing well. Which is funny, because then right after she's like, not really.
And she's like, if you get bored, I insist you move in with us. Which is, like, really important to remember.
Yes, it is.
But she's like, it's going to be very cramped, and I don't think Kyle's going to like it. Kyle's Audrey's son.
Yes.
And he is a fucking menace to society.
He is.
Just like Bernadette.
I was going to say, but way worse.
Yeah, very, very different.
Oh.
So we're getting these, for a good part of this section, we hear very little from Bea. We do hear from her in this part. But most of it is just fucking Audrey and Sue Lynn and Audrey conspiring against everyone to, like, preserve her own image.
Correct,
is basically what's going on.
Yeah.
So they moved into the Westin because of that mudslide that Bernadette and Audrey caused. Audrey demanded things to be done.
Well, I was going to say, okay, I know Bernadette did it on purpose, but at the same, well, I mean, we have to assume that, but...
Yeah, like, she has to know.
Yeah, but I don't even put her at blame with this one. Like, I put her maybe, if there is blame on her, like, she's 5% and Audrey's like 95%, because it was Audrey who was being
the
like...
The poor kindergarten class, that's all I think about.
You kind of have to, actually, now I think about it. Yeah, I don't know why, because honestly, those poor kids, like, with the whole trauma thing.
Yeah, that was such a funny part of the book, though.
Yeah.
Like, the letter that the... What was chaperone, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if they're just a psychologist, I guess. Or...
Chaperone, she's a psychologist, but she was a chaperone.
Right, right.
Yeah. So funny.
And so Sue Lynn is complaining because Elgin is deciding to go to Antarctica, as we know, when they only have 3 months. They're shipping Samantha 2 in 3 months.
And so we still don't know what Samantha 2 is.
Correct. But we will learn, of course, in this part. She says we're all working toward the same goal.
Yes.
What's the same goal? They're
Samantha 2.
Oh, so she's talking about Elgin. For some reason, I thought she was talking about Audrey, and I'm like, what?
No, okay. No. So they're all, she's...
Oh, I see.
She's
yeah.
So brand new to Samantha, too.
Right, right.
And she talks about how Elgin, like, just chews out the marketing girls, which I'm not a fan of myself. Those marketing girls being around the world, staying at 5-star hotels. Still, I took Elgin aside afterward. I'm sure you have your hands full at home this weekend, I said, but you must remember we're all working towards the same goal. Boy, did that silence him. Score one for us, Audrey.
Oh, my God.
See, that's the bitchiness and fakeness that you've spoken to about before.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's awful. Audrey's response.
It's all about herself. Fuck off.
It literally is. And she's like, I must confess, the West End is nothing like I described in my holiday verse. Where do I begin? And so she starts going into all of these terrible details about how... she constantly hears noise all the time, whether it be like dumpsters clanging or doors slamming, the plumbing chugs whenever there's the toilet's flushed.
There's someone with a leather jacket and has patches on it.
Oh my
Those
God.
Those ruffians.
And yeah, she just goes into a bunch of things that are going wrong at the West End that she's staying at.
And on top of it, Gwen Goodyear, the president or the principal of the school,
yeah,
wants to bring them in and talk about Kyle. What does Kyle, my perfect son, have anything to do with anything?
At this point, when I read that, I'm like, bitch, do you not know? Like, you're so... I don't even know where you are. Like,
yeah.
Where'd you go, Audrey? In her own head.
Where'd
anyway.
You go, Audrey? I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. But the whole letter, she is really... I don't think there's at one point she actually comments on...
Elgin.
Yeah, or what Sulin says about Samantha, too. Nothing.
Nothing.
All about her.
All because that very first sentence that Sulin sent to Audrey saying, oh, it sounds like you guys are doing great. No, it's awful. Let me tell you about everything.
But you know what? I will say there are people like that where they kind of set up a conversation to be like, oh, how are you doing? I'm doing good. Okay. It's like, well, you don't sound like it. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Except Audrey's much more bitchier than or maybe kind people of like who a, just need to talk. Yeah.
Or kind of just like a, oh, do you have anything special planned this weekend? No. Aren't you going to ask me if I have anything special planned for this
right?
weekend?
Yep.
Yeah. It's that fake concern.
Yeah. It's awful. And so then Sulin replies that she talks about having this conversation with Elgin.
Yes. Oh, poor Elgin.
Yeah.
I love him so much.
I do love Elgin. And I love and I hate this conversation. I love it because, you know, he's basically, they're having a conversation about Bernadette.
Yeah.
So not the whole conversation, but yeah.
So he takes her on a lunch break to a church with a beautiful fountain. Mm-hmm. And like Sulin is like pissing herself because she's like, everyone's looking at me. And they're like, who is she doing with like Elgin Branch? Because Elgin is like top dog.
Right, right.
He's E-dog, you know.
He's E-dog.
E-dog. Everyone admires Elgin.
Yeah.
Because he's smart and he's funny and people mm-hmm. like him. He's quirky. Doesn't wear shoes.
Right.
You know, like...
Doesn't wear shoes.
Doesn't wear shoes. And he's taken this person who's brand new to the project and to that area because this is like a campus.
Right, yeah.
So, like, no one really knows her. And he's taking her out to lunch.
Fancy. Yeah. That's funny that we just said the same thing.
So they talk about Bernadette. Go on.
Yeah, so they basically talk about... Like, Sulin's basically... You know, saying why people don't like Bernadette just because she's not involved in like mm-hmm. The school. And he's like, well, yeah, of course we donate money. Like, we don't want to be involved. And she's like,
yeah.
Well, don't you get the emails? He's like, no, we were taken off the email list. Like, yeah. He's just
years ago.
Yeah. So I kind of like, I loved that. Like, it makes me realize, like, because I think in some books, like, you'll see characters like you just don't know why they're married. Like, they just don't seem compatible sometimes. Mm-hmm. I love that he's just like, well, of course. Like, why would I be on that? It's not like he doesn't know. He's mm-hmm. not in the dark. He made that decision, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly. Right here it says he does the donation and she's talking about, well, baking healthy snacks for talent night and brushing the hair on picture day. And he goes, I'm sorry, but I'm with Bernadette on this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to be a part of that.
Right.
Ooh, I never will do that. Like, yeah, I'll be a soccer mom. I'll, like, make snacks for the soccer team and stuff.
Right.
But who's going to volunteer to brush hair on pitcher day? This is, it's so weird.
That is weird.
It's so weird. But we also learn of Sulin's, what, crush?
Well, sorry, go ahead.
We learn about Sulin's cult that she's in and how they, quote, crush them. And that's like an acronym.
What is it? Victims against victimhood.
Victims against victimhood. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
So C, confirm your reality. R, reveal your own abuse, which is absurd and a half. This is.
I literally read this and I'm like, ah.
Yeah. It is so. It's like it's an incel type of mindset.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You unite them with Vav. Victims against victimhood. S, say
sayonara. Is that what that
is? Yeah, sayonara to abuse. And H, have a nice life.
Have a nice life.
That you gotta crush them. You gotta crush these newcomers. So that's what cults do. They break you down to your most fundamental core. They nitpick all your little problems.
Yeah.
And they tell you you're not good enough. But we're here to help build you back up.
Correct. I'm just going to put a shout out right now. One of my favorite movies of all time
is
called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Long title, but...
What? Okay, go ahead.
Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Okay.
And it was one of the first movies that Elizabeth Olsen, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's sister, starred in.
Oh.
This is what got her into the Hollywood scene, this movie. It is so good. It's about her being in a cult and... It's amazing. That's what I think of when
Does everyone have M names?
No, it's her identities. So her name is Martha, but they call her Marcy May at the cult. And then when she has to have another identity because they're trying to be hidden at the cult, kind of. So like she has to pick up the phone and say her name's Marlene. So it's like these different identities that she's kind
of conflicted. That's weird.
I
like that.
It's so good. I love it so much.
Check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
I hope it's on Netflix.
I don't think it is, unfortunately. But I have the DVD. Oh, wait.
I have the DVD.
I have the Blu-ray.
I have the Blu-ray. You got so very I have the DVD. Oh, I have the Blu-ray.
Yeah. Look, I got excited.
You're so excited.
It's a really good movie. But anyway, that's what I thought of when I think of cults. So if you want to watch something really on point about cults, watch that. But anyway.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's very cultish. The whole thing is just weird.
Yeah.
It's so strange. Victims against victimhood.
Because you're against victimhood. So there's... Okay. It's fine not wanting to sit in your victimhood.
Right.
You know, but some people need that to heal.
Right.
And when you heal, then you get yourself out of it.
Right.
But to be against it, like to be adamantly against... someone saying I'm hurting,
and it's almost like blaming them
it's reversed, it's just because the whole concept of that cult is you're responsible for the way you're feeling right now,
right?
So if you feel bad because I don't know you're in an abusive relationship, just remember you put yourself in that abusive relationship,
right?
And you have no one else to blame but yourself because you should have gotten out of it,
right?
That's what it is.
Sulin. Why do you do this? she mentions this tragedy that happened, and Elgin's like, what tragedy? And she's like, haven't you been getting the emails? And that's when he says he didn't get them. And she tells him about Bernadette and the billboard.
And the foot running over and
absolutely
fucking everything.
And I hate that this happened because I hate Sulin at this point. Like, the fact that she's intruding in on this, like, not that Elgin should have stayed in the dark.
Yeah.
But the way he found out is kind of what pushes the events to unfold the way they do throughout the rest of the book. And it's a shame because you can tell that he's hurt.
He's so hurt. He's crying when he talks about Bernadette.
Yeah. And he really, like, it's just sad because we're getting it from the perspective of Sulin. So she's like, and he just had no idea. And she thinks that he's becoming closer with her, which he kind of is.
Yes.
Which I hate too. But he's vulnerable at this point.
Yeah, you know he's trapped in his office. I feel I have the most sympathy for Elgin. Really? I honestly do, and because at this point he's trapped in his office. All he's trying to do is provide for his family and like make sure his wife and daughter are comfortable so his wife can create again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all he wants. All he wants is his family be happy. So he'll work himself to the fucking bone. to make that happen.
And he's really smart. He's good at what he does. You know, he's passionate so about this project.
We learned that he does a TED Talk, and it's the fourth popular TED Talk.
Excited to talk about that. But
I love it.
I think that's awesome. I love that little detail. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so poor LG. Poor LG. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So Audrey's response to this is basically like, do you think I'm fucking stupid? Like, do you honestly think that Elgin knew nothing about it and you're over there, like, being his number one fan? Like, you're supposed to be my best friend. You know, like, I'm, what did she say? Elgin Branch is attempting to establish a paper trail so that when we sue him for everything he's worth, he can claim ignorance. Well, that trick won't work because we have to remember that Audrey's husband is a lawyer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. This is a lot to take in, folks. So Audrey emails Gwen Goodyear, who, like we said, is the principal.
Yes, of the school.
And she says, check that Elgin Branch is on the school email list, not Bernadette. Just check about Elgin.
Specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then she... Oh, okay. So then we get into B's narration. Yeah. And so it's Kennedy's birthday.
Yeah, Kennedy... I don't think we've talked about her yet. Kennedy is B's best friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and she's... little ditzy, like ADHD. Yes. They don't say she has it, but you're supposed to like pick that up.
Right. Yeah.
So they go to the Space Needle.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool. Yeah. That's awesome. And I thought that was like, that's just something so fun to do, especially at that age, because she's turning 15. She writes, like, what's cool about the Space Needle for those who might not know.
15?
Yeah, because it says, on page 148, she writes...
Fabulous 15.
Yep. So the Space Needle, what makes it special, in case you didn't know, is that it revolves in a circle. So when you'll have... It just revolves in a circle, which is really cool. I guess for some people it's awful just because of the heights and the movement of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool because you're just going around. You get to see different sides of Seattle.
Yeah.
So cool.
I think it's really neat. I would love to do that.
Me too. That'd be amazing. Hey, road trip.
Seattle.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God. I mean, I would do it, but like, not now.
In Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Hey, Seattle. Put us up.
What?
We actually call her Seattle.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, that's her name.
Oh, okay.
Well, she's not in Seattle. She's in Washington.
Though. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Oh, excuse me.
You're good. You're all good. So they decide to put, because the restaurant revolves, they decide to put this card on the window so that people in the restaurant will sign her birthday card, Kennedy's birthday card.
Yeah.
Which is, again, so cool.
That's
love that.
I wonder if they actually do that.
I would imagine they do. So the author is actually from Seattle. Let me find her bio real quick. I don't know if it's in the front or the back. It might be in the back.
I think it's on the back, like, covers.
Oh, the Bachelor. Oh, yeah, you're right. She lives in Seattle, yeah. So she's... We got this. I did it again. We got this.
What she did again was look to the left and her right.
Yeah. So she probably, I'm assuming she's been to the Space Needle. She knows the area, which is good.
Yeah.
So then they just have... I really love this scene, honestly. Yeah, sorry, you're going
to
say something.
I was just about to say exactly what you're saying. Kennedy and B are acting like kids.
Yes.
Because Kennedy is 15 and B is 12, right?
B is 14, I think.
She's 14?
I
forget how old
she
is.
I'm pretty sure she's 14. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure.
So, like, their favorite game to do at the Space Needle right now is to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
And come back out because the whole restaurant rotates. Mm-hmm. But the bathroom doesn't. So your table's not going to be in the same place.
Right.
So they walk around going, where's our table? Yeah. LOL. And like, they're running around. That's cute. They're very much kids right now.
And that's what you would do at 14. Like, I love that so much because you're in this stage where like you're trying to be adult, but you're also still a kid. So you're like you're trying to act more mature because you're like, oh, I'm funny. Where's the table? Like, and it's like, that's not funny.
It's
amazing.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Because it's lame, like, because they're younger, I love it so much. Like, I mean, I relate to it so much. Like, I think it's amazing.
It's also something you would do.
Totally. At that age? Oh, my God. I would probably still do it at my age now.
I was going to say, I can see you doing that right now.
You're like, yeah, where's the table?
One crab. Let's get another crab. Yeah.
That's true. I did do that. That was hilarious.
Callback to last season.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was funny. And so they're talking about, they ask Bernadette, have you ever heard of poop in the stew? Poop in the stew, Mom said. We learned about it in youth group, Kennedy
said. Yeah, we learned a lot about her youth group.
Which is interesting. Were you in youth group when you were...
No, I went, because I went to Catholic school.
Oh, right.
I didn't have to go to youth group or anything like that.
I was in youth group, and this totally is realistic. And I could see, like, I could see them talking about stuff like this. Like, they put on puppet shows for teenagers, which is funny because the Bernadette's like, and those featherheads wonder why people are fleeing the church. Puppet shows for teenagers.
Oh my god, I do like Bernadette a lot.
I love her sass. It's just so funny. That's when they go to the bathroom, or they go to the bathroom again. Sorry.
They continue to do it.
And so this is when Elgin comes.
And Kennedy is so excited. Kennedy loves this family. She doesn't give a shit.
She doesn't. Like, this is such an interesting dynamic because, like, he doesn't like her. Apparently.
No, he did because she's so hyper.
Yeah.
And he's just like, chill the fuck out.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Goody, goody gum.
I was just about to read that line.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
Goody, goody gum. Here comes my birthday card.
And so this is when they get to see...
Elgin's freaking out.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see where does it begin. Let's see. Well, then, okay, so he says he doesn't like her, but then he's just kind of... He's like, of course I like you, Kennedy. He's upset because B is coming to Bernadette's aid, basically.
So rewinding just a little bit, yeah. Elgin's like, why didn't you ever tell me about any of this? And her and Bernadette is like, how did you find out? Let me guess, your admin is like whispering poison in your ears.
And he's to
like,
be fair,
yeah,
well, she's not wrong. Well, I was just gonna say, not to cut you off, but she's not wrong.
I think she's wrong.
I don't think so.
She shouldn't have kept it from her husband.
Wait, what did you say? I didn't understand what you said.
Who do you think is wrong?
I think Sulin's wrong.
I don't think Sulin's wrong.
I think because
I don't think Bernadette should have kept it from her husband.
I don't think that either. I agree with you, but I think Sulin, she's not doing it to like send him into the light and like do it for him. She's doing it for herself, like because she wants to go against Bernadette.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah,
but if somebody is coming to you and saying like, what is going on? And it's like, oh, you don't know all these events. She might have been doing it in malice. Yeah. But if she said it in a kind way, would you be this still upset? Because either way, he's going to find that he found out.
I think I would rather... No, I still would be like... Because just her character, I'd be like, talk to your wife then. Like ask her.
Yeah.
Like, because Sulin, just knowing what I know about her character, she's butting in. And also...
But I'm saying, like...
Well, I also say it... Let me put it this way. Knowing what I know about Audrey, how a lot of this whole situation isn't really on Bernadette, like, to me. So, I think the way Elgin understands it, he thinks...
It was Bernadette's.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what I mean. Saying. Yeah. So, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Not that the information was shared, but how it was presented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think either way...
Yeah.
I don't disagree with Sulin telling Elgin what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I very much disagree with Bernadette not telling her husband.
Yeah, she should have told him.
Like 100%. And she shouldn't have had B also agree not to tell her dad.
Yeah.
You know, because everything that's happened is also affecting him.
Right.
You know, and that's not fair.
Which I like, though, that that's happening because I think it shows how, like, their relationship is sort of not crumbling, but like just the trust. Yeah. The
it's
trust
so
is
stressed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that. It's just like he's not just going to let it go. Like he's legitimately upset about this and
he's
wants
like
to talk about it.
The sane one here.
Yeah. He wants
he barged into the Space Needle and started yelling at his, lecturing his wife.
Yeah.
You know? And then you're right. B comes to, becomes to her mom's aid and that Elgin, who's already like tense and stressed out because like Samantha 2 is rolling out in a couple months, you know, like, he feels like everyone's turning on him and he's been in this dark this whole time. I have so much sympathy for him.
You have more. I still have sympathy for him, but not that much. Like, I
don't know.
But I will say, I feel him here when B kind of turns against him. He's like, I'm working for you and for Mom. And because the work I'm doing has the potential to help millions of people, I'm working especially long hours now so I can take you to Antarctica.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that is a very good point. Mm-hmm. And but B's younger, so I won't put it on her. But Bernadette, like you said, she shouldn't have put that on her child.
Yeah.
Never put that on a child.
Never put that on a child.
Don't put, yeah.
Yeah. And like, you see his parenting style, how different it is from Bernadette. Mm-hmm. When B goes, okay, so Kennedy's like, goody gun drops, oh my god, what's my card? And B goes, can you please take a Ritalin and shut up?
Oh.
Like, and it's so funny. Because I also spoke to my friends like that when I was 14.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
That's funny.
And her dad snapped. He goes, what did you just say? You don't talk to people like that. Mm-hmm. Mom told dad, it's okay, that's how they talk to each other. You know, and that just shows, again, how distant the Elgin is from the family.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, it's hard to talk about because, yes, he's working very hard for the family. But I think another thing to think about is that in terms of B, you know, maybe that is a legitimate criticism on her part that she doesn't see her dad very often. Yeah. That to her, he is working long hours. Yes, he's doing it for their family and stuff, but B doesn't get that. And
not
so I
yet.
Think, yeah. So yeah. It's like, that's the hard part. But I'm glad that the book doesn't shy away from that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then and then the card comes around.
Jesus is our, well, okay, so people write some happy birthdays, but the card was covered with things like, Jesus is our savior. Remember our Lord Jesus died for our sins. Plus passages from the Bible. So B starts laughing. Kennedy starts crying, which
she does sometimes.
Yeah. And then she's like, really, the thing to do is just let it pass, B says. And Bernadette snatches it away. She's like, don't worry, Kennedy. I'm going to hunt down those Jesus freaks.
Yeah. So she's going, like, Bernadette is freaking out about these people who are put Jesus freak messages in the birthday card, but won't address the issue that's going on in her marriage.
Right. Oh, she's totally.
She's
just,
so
yeah.
avoiding it.
She is. Yeah. And I just love this scene so much. So Elgin leaves. And he basically is like, you know, go ahead, embarrass yourself, attack people who actually have found some meaning in their lives.
Yeah, we'll continue this when you get home.
I thought that was a very interesting sentence, especially we're not there yet, but I'm pretty sure in part four there's an interesting stuff that has to do with religion.
Oh,
we'll get there.
Yeah.
But I think that's, I, okay.
It is an, it's an interesting line.
Yeah. I say that because, like, I think the general kind of, a lot of people, especially in this day and age, kind of grew up, I know you and I both have talked about this, we grew up in the faith and sometimes haven't left it, but like are kind of, maybe this is the wrong word, but like jaded about it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes you just expect that in like, oh, we're higher literature people. We don't believe in that. But I like that this book also says like what people have meaning in their lives. Like what's wrong with that?
I argued with this one guy who was an adamant atheist. He's like, you're so smart and you're so funny. It's such a waste that you believe in God. And I went, why is it a waste? Like, my believing in God doesn't affect you in any way, shape, or form. You just said all these positive things about me. Like, I'm not a bad person. Why does that affect you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you put stock in something higher than yourself.
Yeah.
Just like, even like addicts, when they go through AA, you have to put, like, you put stock in something bigger than oneself.
Mm-hmm.
or yourself if you're at that point in your rehabilitation. But believing in a God in any way, shape, or form doesn't hurt anyone.
Right.
It's when you start doing your evil actions in the name of a God.
Right.
That's when things are wrong.
Right.
You know, but religion itself is not inherently bad.
Right.
So
yeah, and there's like this, it's just refreshing to see that this book is actually acknowledging that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it is because it's presenting, it's just conflicted, and that's great to see. I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really, it's a, like just a little line. You could easily pass by it, but I appreciated it.
Yeah.
And so they get home. And what's interesting is that they actually, Elgin is waiting up for them.
Yeah.
And they avoid him. Bernadette goes to her, what's it called?
Her trailer.
Her trailer.
Essentially.
And then B goes with her.
Yeah.
She sleeps and then, yeah.
So, yeah, it's very sad.
It is sad. I was very sad. I was like, oh, they're not even going to talk about it. All right. Like, that's not good. But, and again, I like the realistic actions of B. But Bernadette, come on, girl. Talk to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So then Gwen, the next day, writes back to Audrey. And
and tells Audrey that, no, they're not on the email list, but we really need to talk about your son.
Yeah. It's like, we need to get this over. We need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we get, I guess,
we get a little passage from B, saying that basically Kyle's an ass. And it's funny, though.
It is funny. So
they're having a spelling bee or something, right?
Yeah. Where is it? We're doing a vocabulary lightning round. So their teacher throws out a word and points to someone and they have to use the word in a sentence.
This is very young for 14, don't you think?
Not necessarily. I mean,
we stopped doing vocabulary lightning rounds in 7th grade.
Well, okay, so we didn't actually. We didn't do vocabulary lightning rounds, but we did exercises like this, similar.
In high school?
Yep.
Oh, that's
it sucked.
Weird.
I hated it. but yeah, we did it. Not so much. I won't say like later in high school, but in 10th grade, yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
But then again, what grade is she in?
9th.
I always forget that. Okay, yeah, I always forget because
she's 14.
Right. Okay.
So
yeah.
She's 8th, 9th.
So I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I'm thinking of high school because, like, again, my high school started at 10th grade.
Oh,
not 9th grade. So that's
my high school started in 9th grade.
Right, yeah. So, okay. Like, when we were, I mean, we definitely did some vocab in 10th grade, but especially in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, we did a ton of vocab.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
That was awful. but they, the teacher is Mr. Mr. Levy says, to use the word sheath, and he points at Kyle, and Kyle says, sheath my dick.
That is something that I would burst out laughing if I heard.
Oh, everybody starts laughing. I would probably laugh too, honestly.
She's like, dig, Mr. Whatever.
Yeah.
That is disgusting. He just made a gay joke and he doesn't realize it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, that happens. Just to illustrate, you know, that Kyle is bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say about that part?
Or no, should we not at all.
Okay, so then we get a letter from Sue Lynn to Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how she starts, I have chosen to disregard the tone of your previous nasty gram and chalk it up to the stress of your living conditions.
Yeah. This is where the divide is beginning to happen between Audrey and Sue Lynn.
It is.
Because Sue Lynn is falling in love with Elgin.
Aw, man. It's happening.
Man.
Oh, man. This whole part I was like,
did
cringing.
You see that coming? Because I did.
I did too.
Okay.
Yeah. I just the way like her interacting with him, there were signs. So yeah. So let me see. I don't remember this part actually.
She's like, you have everything wrong about Elgin.
Oh right.
And then she talks about his past and how he lived in Philadelphia, and so we learn a lot about Elgin through Sue Lynn.
Yeah, we do.
Which is
actually
very interesting.
Mm-hmm. She's obsessed with him.
Absolutely obsessed with
him. Yeah.
Like, did you know he grew up in Philadelphia to a prominent family?
Oh.
You know?
So true. Get a room.
Yeah. And then, like, she's the one that's actually trying to calm Elgin because, why'd you say the get a room?
That's at the top of 155. It says, so it was a combination of get a room and a reference to what fun they... I don't know what it's in reference to, though.
Yeah.
Belltown Connector. What is that? Is that one of the...
The Belltown Connector is a shuttle.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, the shuttle. So they were like, we broke out laughing. Mm-hmm. Sergeant Quirk, what is this? The Belltown Connector? And it's a Microsoft. He works for Microsoft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just an internal Microsoft joke
right.
that... doesn't convey well because and that's what it's supposed to do. It's
right,
not
right.
supposed to convey well
right.
because this is Sue Lynn explaining to Audrey an inside joke. that no one will also understand. It's also putting up a, it works perfectly in this book because making a divide to show how separate their lives actually are.
Yes, indeed.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And so then he talks about like how he's leaving like work for a month. Or wait, you keep calling. Hold on, I'm sorry. We turned the subject. LG was anxious about the amount of time he was taking off for Christmas. "You keep calling it a month," I said. "It's 27 days, 12 of which are Christmas vacation when Microsoft clears out anyway. 6 days are weekends. You have 5 travel days." So he's worried he won't have internet access, but he actually will. It's only 5 days he'll be away from the internet.
Yeah.
So.
Well, also 5 days that he won't be, quote, wouldn't be working to begin with.
Right.
And this is where we also find out how obsessive she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I think we should really quick shout out to our sponsor, Audible.com.
Yeah.
Audible.com is the leading provider in audiobook distribution.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking very weird.
It's because you're also doing something else.
Yes, indeed. So, when you visit our fancy URL, audibletrial.com/BABAT, you will be able to get a free 30-day trial to Audible, as well as a free audiobook of your choice. There are over, what did we say, 425,000 titles? Yeah. So there's a ton to choose from. And literally there is. I'm a subscriber to Audible. So, I mean, okay, I'll say the one I most recently listened to was Twain's Feast, the one I talked about last episode.
Okay.
Which is narrated by Nick Offerman, and it's about Mark Twain's life through his favorite meals.
Oh, yeah.
A very interesting book. I listened to it around Thanksgiving, but you know, it's the holidays. Listen to it around Christmas. It's, if you love food, you'll really love this book. Oh my God, food's amazing.
So I don't know if this, oh, it is on Audible. Mm. So the one I just listened to that I will recommend is called Inkheart.
Okay.
So
I've heard of that.
Yes. So I'm on a trip that I'm listening to all of my old favorites. Ah. So Inkheart is, it's an amazing concept. It is for younger kids.
Okay.
It's a long book. It's very, very thick. It was actually originally written in German and then translated to English.
That's cool.
So it's about a bookbinder who has a daughter. And when he reads stories, they come to life. Actual physical life.
Oh, okay.
So he read the story Inkheart, in which villains came out and they lost someone incredibly dear going in. And so the first book, because it's, I think, 3 or 4? It's a series.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's 3. There's Inkspell and Ink Death. It's a solid book for a child.
I've heard good things about it.
The movie is awful. You might know about the movie.
Maybe I do. I don't, I'm trying to like picture the cover in my head. I'm pretty sure I heard about it.
It's red. Has gold lettering. And it's a... That's my recommendation, though.
Cool. That's an awesome recommendation. Yeah. That would be actually really cool to listen to.
I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it with fucking Lost in the Book.
Ah, yeah, you know, yeah.
Like, oh, you go into these other realms and they come out and you have a father that loves books.
Yeah.
And the father is very eloquent and he talks very well. Mm. And the girl who's 12 is incredibly smart. And, like, there are people who actually truly love books. Mm. And so I like it.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah. Great recommendation. What's it called again? Inkheart?
Inkheart.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome.
Inkspell and then Ink Death.
Nice. Check it out, folks. Via our link, audibletrial.com/BABAT.
Woo!
All right. So Ms. Goodyear writes Audrey and Warren. Warren's her husband.
The lawyer.
Yes. She talks about there's been an allegation presented to her regarding Kyle. Accusing Kyle, like, he basically been selling drugs, which we'd heard about before, but, and she says, "I refuse to believe it for your sake as much as Kyle's, but yesterday another parent found 20 pills in her child's backpack."
Yep.
"These pills have been identified as Oxycontin." And so, the student pointed to Kyle as the source, and the student has been allowed to continue classes, but they need to speak to the parents about Kyle.
Yeah, so that's so strange that the student was allowed, like, the kid that has the drugs that were given to him seems to be more punished than Kyle, the one that sold him the drugs.
Right.
You know, the student has been allowed to continue classes for the next week with the understanding that she will receive treatment over winter break. So, but Kyle is not suspended?
I was going to say, I guess...
Oh, it's just like the investigation portion.
I guess. But either way, I agree with you. It's like that the fact that they do not. But I guess the reason they do nothing is because of who Audrey is as a parent.
Yeah. The nutcase.
Yeah. Like they get a ton of support.
We're using new laundry detergent. And oh, and it smells really good.
I thought you were just cold.
No.
It smells really good.
It's sorry. Like the whole episode, just Brittany.
I am like breathing loud in this episode. I've noticed it.
I do that too though sometimes, like, and I kind of feel self-conscious about it, but I'm like, whatever.
You know what though, when we're editing it doesn't sound the same as it is in the headphones.
It doesn't. No.
Yeah,
which is a good thing. But anyway, so yeah. Audrey writes to Gwen. And she's like, she writes, if you wish to implicate Kyle in a Gower Street drug... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You're going to have to do better than that if you wish to implicate Kyle in a Gower Street drug ring. And she says, basically, she's just saying...
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's in denial.
So, Warren seems like one of those, oh, what are they called? Injured, call us.
Yeah,
kind of lawyers, or like, yes. One, what were they called, the ambulance chasers?
Yeah, is that what they're
yeah,
I'm gonna assume you're right because I can't think. Yeah,
so when somebody slips on the sidewalk, yep. And it's like, let's sue them all,
like John Ralphio.
Yeah, John Ralphio. So it's like Warren is curious about how a legal prescription written to me when I asked for Kyle to carry because I was on crutches due to an injury sustained on your campus, something I never considered holding Geller Street liable for, even though it was a statute of limitation, gives me plenty of time to change my mind, has anything to do with 20 Oxycontin because she was subscribed Vicodin.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about how it's strange that Kyle's not getting any sort of punishment just yet while the student is. And Audrey's kind of on the opposite, where she's kind of like, speaking of Warren, he's looking into the legality of letting a student who's a known drug abuser finish out the semester. Like, so she's basically like, that's not enough punishment. Why is he getting to finish the semester?
Yeah, well, I have to have a parent-teacher conference.
Right.
The audacity.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, that's Audrey for you. So then Audrey responds to Sue Lynn, and she basically is like, it's short. She says, I'll just read it all. Excuse me for not responding sooner, but it has taken me an hour to pull my jaw off the floor. I'm spending Christmas in a hotel and you're lauding my tormentor? Last time I checked my calendar, it was the middle of December, not April 1st.
Yeah, and that was from Audrey to Sue Lynn.
Yeah.
Basically saying, I just wanted to make sure
just in case, yeah.
Yeah. And because Sue Lynn was coming to the defense of Elgin.
Right.
Yeah.
Audrey's not happy about that.
No, neither is Sue Lynn. So Sue Lynn goes to Audrey, let me clarify.
Yeah. It's just, and it's funny too, because they're still kind of like being like pretend nice about it.
Yeah.
So it's like.
And Sue Lynn's a lot better at it than
she
Audrey.
Is. Oh, she is. Yes.
So she talks about how everyone loves Elgin.
Mm-hmm.
Like people literally reach out to touch him, mm-hmm. You know, and she's getting this special treatment from him. So obviously that's going to make her feel incredibly, like, special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, incredibly special. Not that that's Elgin's fault. She's well, in that case.
Yeah.
And she talks about, again, his TED Talk. Number 4 on the list of all-time most watched TED Talks. No wonder he wears sound-canceling headphones. Because that's in reference to the very first interaction that they had.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I have to work. And pops on headphones. With no, it's not plugged in.
Yep.
You know, so she's like, of course, yeah. He's a fucking celebrity here.
Right.
You know?
He is, yeah. And so Audrey responds back. She said, I don't give a fig about TED. So I like wonder, like, does she know
she
what TED Talk is?
TED Talks are.
Which, that's just hilarious
in
itself.
I laughed so hard at that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who he is, and I don't care what he says during this talk you refuse to shut up about.
That's all her email was back to Sulin.
Yep. And then so Sulin says, TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. The TED Conference is an exclusive meeting of the most brilliant minds in the world. It's held once a year in Long Beach, and it's an enormous privilege to be chosen to give a talk. So this is when we get into, and we get a little anecdote from B, talking about Dad's TED Talk being a huge deal. All the kids knew about it in school. And, yeah, Audrey. It's hard to believe that Audrey Griffin had never heard of it.
Yeah. And especially how involved she is. But, yeah. Like, so that tells me, reading between the lines,
right,
that all the other parents don't actually hate Elgin and Bernadette.
Correct. It's just Audrey.
It's just Audrey and every little thing that... Like, someone goes, yeah, the branches. And yeah. She's like, see, they all agree with me.
It's Yeah, it's like, it makes me think of the Wicked Witch of the West and how when she dies, they're like, oh, you killed her. And she's like, I didn't mean to kill her, thinking they're going to hurt her. And they're like, Hail Dorothy, the Wicked Witch is dead. And she's like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. It's kind of like that, I feel like.
I don't know how. Like, because it's made bigger?
Meaning, like, they're loyal to her because they're afraid of her. But if she was out of the picture, like you said, like
I don't feel that they're loyal.
Well, not loyal to her, but meaning like maybe loyal is the wrong word, but they adhere to her madness or the thing. They just agree with her for the sake of it because
it's less of a hassle.
Yeah, like, well, you know, she's out of the picture. Like, if you really ask them, it's like, is Audrey going to hear me? Yeah. No, I don't care about that. Like, yeah. It's kind of like that.
But for me, from my viewpoint,
yeah.
Of it, I feel like, what's the word? They're plaintiff? What's that word? What does plaintiff mean?
I don't. The first thing I thought of, I think I'm wrong now.
Now I think I'm wrong.
I was gonna say plaintiff is like the judge, like plaintiff or
yeah. I forget. They're placating.
Okay,
is that the word I'm thinking of? Placate?
Maybe.
What does placate mean?
I don't know.
They are humoring her. You
right.
know, like
yeah.
that's basically what it comes down to. They're right. just like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, they don't even engage. Like,
right.
they won't even recognize her as a person.
Right.
Because that description of her walking down the, like, with her, like, hair all, yeah. like, wild and wearing clogs and stuff like that. No, I honestly believe that no other parent even interacts with her on another level. Like, they probably dreaded having that lunch at her house.
Yeah.
But they had to do it.
Right.
You know? So I guess placate. I think that's the word I want to use, placate. Because I know it in context, just not the actual definition.
Yeah.
They were doing it just to humor her. Just right. like, yeah, go ahead. Fine. Okay. Like a child.
Right, right.
You know, like an absolute child.
Yeah.
So.
Seriously.
I don't think she has anything to do with the school, like fear right. or anything like that.
Well, meaning like I guess my comparison is just basically saying that like she does seem to have like the school regards her, like they're emailing her, like she
yeah.
does have a lot of say. And if she's out of the picture, it's like, oh, well, like we didn't want her anyway. Oh, you're going to
yeah.
look it up. Yeah. Like, oh, well, we didn't want her anyway. Like,
yeah,
see you later.
Yeah. Bye. It's
you
better
know?
Without you.
Yeah.
Then for the most of the rest of the chapter, it talks about this TED Talk.
Yeah, it's basically the live blog transcript of the TED Talk.
Which sounds fucking awesome. I love TED Talks.
Me too. So do I.
One of my favorite ones is the poet who talks about her daughter.
I'm probably not.
I forget what her name is, but she talks about her relationship with her daughter and like her growing up and how she wants to be like have the universe and but know that it's okay to fall and blah blah blah. It's very I'm doing a very piss poor representation
yeah.
of it, but I definitely will get the link for you for
cool.
this. But it's one of the best. It's one of the best. Like, it gives me chills when I listen to it.
Okay.
It's very well done. And I think it's interesting with TED Talks. Sorry, I'm going on a little tangent.
That's okay.
How mixed everything is.
Agreed.
So you have your technology people who bring out all these, like, nanobots. And you have people who work in, like, environmentalists. And they talk about the ecosystem and how things are changing and what to expect in the future. Then you have slam poets.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. And I watched one about how to properly dry your hands.
Yeah,
did you see that one?
It's been a while though, but
one towel method.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he talks about paper towels and how big of a detriment they are to the environment.
Yeah. It's so funny how when you watch one of the TED Talks or really like anything like that, it just you start thinking about it. So like so I watched one time about like water, like and how like to conserve like water like in everyday mm-hmm. situations. So like when you're brushing your teeth. Maybe don't run the water all the time when you're not using it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I constantly think about that, like, something, like, little like that. But yeah. I always think back to that TED Talk about, like, how we use water and stuff. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Good
point. Gotta watch that again.
Yeah.
It's been a while. But, yeah, I just love it.
So,
yeah, so we get the whole TED Talk. And basically, that's when we're introduced to Samantha 2, which we learn is this AI robot.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's Microsoft's answer to the AI stuff, except it's like a physical, or actually, I forget now.
So, they have everything scheduled in the TED Talks.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever been to a conference, not like this, but conferences general.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you don't adhere to the schedule, it gets super annoying.
Yes.
You know? So, they threw a wrench in the system to let Elgin talk. You know,
right.
Like there's a 15-minute break and this blogger is talking about how like agonizing it is sometimes. And I feel bad for these people with 15-minute breaks. And Elgin walks up there and his clicker doesn't work. He's not wearing shoes.
Right.
Like everything is he's dressed casual.
Yeah.
His presentation isn't going on. He has to work without his aides. Mm-hmm. And this blogger's like, oh, God, like no one wants to be here right now.
Looks like he just rolled out of bed, he says.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he is soldiering on without his video. I'm on page 161 at 5:03 p.m. Branch bravely soldiering on without a video. They set two monkeys in front of a video screen with joysticks. And so this is how they're developing the AI.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains the experiment with the monkeys and all that type of stuff. So basically, the monkeys learn to use a joystick to move a ball to a certain spot and they get a treat.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then sooner or later, they learn that if they just think about the ball moving to the spot, they'll get a treat.
Right.
So it's tracking their brain movements.
Right, correct.
Mm. And so, it's this person, this blogger is going by minute script of the thing.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And listening to this part, because I listened to this book.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
I have it in text and I've also listened to it. This was great.
I'm sure it was, yeah.
So Samantha 1 comes out and it's a helmet, essentially. Right. And in it, he's speaking out loud saying, Samantha, let's make me some popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And Samantha goes over and she's a robot and she makes the popcorn
mm-hmm.
and all this type of stuff. And it's a great invention. Everyone's like really excited over it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so he gives popcorn to whoever is in the front row because they're like, let me have some.
Yep.
And like, Samantha, make me popcorn. And she doesn't do it.
Right.
And Elgin's like, you have to say please. My daughter was 4 when I was creating this, and she was very adamant about saying please.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
that shows the relationship between Elgin and B.
Yeah.
And I love that. That was so sweet.
I like that too a lot. It's a very nice detail.
It's a very nice detail.
And also a cool detail is why they named her Samantha, which is because they named her after the character on Bewitched who was named Samantha.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so
that's funny.
That's cool. And we learned Samantha 2 is a band. What does he put on his head? A band-aid? Am I forgetting?
Yeah, so he talks about how everything is evolving.
Yeah.
So it goes from a helmet to a sticker to all that type of stuff. Because he was talking about voice commands being very limited.
Yeah.
You know, you can only program as much into there as like we programmed taught her 500 commands. We could have taught her 500 more, but what kept holding us back was the thousands of moving parts.
Right.
So that was the issue.
Right.
And he talks about the monkeys again.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize if they just thought about what happened, they could translate that into the machine.
Right.
So it went from this big helmet to a Band-Aid.
Right. And now they just think things instead of having to say them out loud.
And the robot will go and do it. And the crowd went fucking nuts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, my God. It gives me so chills, the idea of something like that.
Yep.
It's so cool.
Nobody can believe what they just saw. That's how it ends.
Yeah.
So it does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's controlling everything. He's controlled the robot. He controls the vacuum cleaner. He's controlling the TV in real time.
Right.
And he's, like, controlled, like, him typing a letter to Bernadette,
you know?
And he's just sitting there and thinking it.
Right.
You know, and, yeah, it's talking about how he's very, like, concentrated or concentrating incredibly hard on it. And it's just doing the things that it's doing.
Yep,
and
it
is such a cool concept.
It is. It's awesome. Oh, that was awesome TED Talk. And then right after that, we switch into Audrey. I've had enough of you. Do you understand? Enough, she says to Su Lin.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, no. And then...
Oh, and also, I'm sorry. The TED Talk lasted an hour when it was only supposed to be 15 minutes.
That's right. Good detail
It was a good detail because everyone was so engrossed with it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so this is a letter from the doctor back to Elgin.
Yeah, and I mean, the basic gist of it is that we learn that he's wondering if he can force Bernadette to
take supervised R&R.
Yes. And she basically says, no, you really can't. They have to do it themselves. The only thing that you can really do, she says, if you believe your wife poses a threat, you must immediately call 911 and have her taken to an emergency room.
Yeah.
But there's really nothing they can do unless Bernadette voluntarily commits herself to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And, like, there's a lot of legalese in this. Like, talking about the Involuntary Treatment Act, Title 71, Chapter 5, Section 150. Section 150 of the Revised Code of Washington.
Mm, yeah.
You know, so this is a doctor covering their ass.
Right.
Saying, like, we understand your concerns. However, there's nothing we could do according to this law. Unless, you know, it's not a sympathetic.
No. And
email.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And he's also warning that I witness the devastating efforts that involuntary commitment every day. Families are ripped apart. Police, lawyers, and judges get involved. It goes on public record and for all future employers and financial institutions to see. Yeah. You know, like, it's a very, very dry, like, no, won't do it.
Yeah, and I can understand that just because, you know, sometimes I guess when you're in that industry, you kind of have to distance yourself from that, especially just not even for your own state, but, like, because you can't really you can't be sympathetic. Like,
it's like when you go to HR and be like, yes, I don't know how to set up my insurance policy or my retirement thing, they say, I can't really help you with that because I can't make those decisions for you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's a good comparison. So then we have an IM exchange between Dad or Elgin and Su Lin during a staff meeting.
God damn it, Su Lin.
Oh, Su Lin. Su Lin, Su Lin. So
Su Lin talks a fucking lot.
And Elgin doesn't seem to be very, like she just keeps going. Like, he doesn't, like, she doesn't even wait for him to respond.
Yeah.
She just keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting seeing everything written out because hearing it audibly. Obviously that's how you hear things.
Yeah.
But hearing the audio version, I don't get these text things. Oh, like,
gotcha.
Torched little D, then CHECK. So Su Lin messages him saying, is everything okay? You seem distracted. Elgin says, starting to question my sanity, home stuff. And Su Lin goes off.
See, that's, and this, I love this part because it kind of shows that Elgin, like, obviously he is invested in this quote-unquote relationship that is sort of forming between them, but it's a lot, his investment is so much different from hers. Like, at the end of this whole exchange where she just goes off.
Yeah, she talks about being torched, which is basically calling someone out on their shit.
Mm-hmm.
That she learns from Victims Against Victimhood.
Yeah.
Oh, God, torch, time out, reality check is what it stands for.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Well, and he just says, and we'll get back, obviously, to what you just said also, but he basically ends like where she, you know, is so elaborating everything about her victims against victimhood. His, after all of her messages to him, he just says, thanks for this, but I kind of have to concentrate. We'll read more carefully after meeting. So, like, he's just so less invested than she is.
I don't think he read a single thing.
Nope. I don't think so either.
No.
She just, whew. This is when I started hating her even more. Like,
same.
Oh,
I did not like her after this.
Yeah.
But at VIV, our definition of abuse is... Oh, God. Okay. Our definition of abuse is intentionally broad and esteem positive. We are victims. Make no mistake about it. But we want to move beyond victimhood, which is a subtle yet important distinction. Thank you. Yeah. I couldn't read that word. And she's like, Elgin, you are a level 80 and the most successful company in the world. You're vested over... You vested out three times. You have a daughter who's thriving academically despite several heart surgeries. Your TED Talk is ranked number 4. Like, God, let that go.
I love it. I'm sorry, LG. You are hereby torched.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yet you live with a woman who has no friends, destroys homes, and falls asleep in stores.
Which, again,
I wanted to punch her in the fucking face.
It's so out of context. Yeah. It's just awful. Like, that's when I was like, no, you didn't. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So.
And then we hear from Manjula.
Yes, it's our one letter from our email from Bernadette to Manjula.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how she's like, I'm back. Did you miss me? So she wants to try to get out of going to Antarctica.
Yeah.
And so she's like, what if I had emergency surgery? She could get 4 wisdom teeth removed.
Mm-hmm. The doctor always said I needed them taken out, but now I never wanted to, but here's my perfect chance. So she'd rather go through a dangerous surgery than go to Antarctica.
So she's going down a bit of a spiral as well. Definitely. She basically says, all right, like, this is what I want. Call the doctor, the dentist, Dr. Nygaard.
Yeah, sure.
Schedule my surgery for December 23rd at any time after 10. There's a school recital that morning, and B is doing the choreography. The little rotter has forbidden me from going, but I checked online and found out when it is.
Yeah.
And she says, I'll go to the school, then pretend I'm going Christmas shopping, blah, blah, blah. And then, she says she'll claim that her teeth have been aching, and she popped into Dr. Nygaard's, and then the next thing she knew, she would have her wisdom
teeth gone. So win-win.
Yep. So Bernadette, what are you doing, girl? Don't do it.
It's a development of character. Like, she doesn't want to go to this.
Right. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And then our final little anecdote in this part.
Oh, I hate this. Did you see this part coming?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes. Because, well, remember we talked about it last time a little bit. We didn't.
I don't remember.
It's been two weeks. Yeah, that's true. I basically said last time, like, I thought that something was up with Manjula.
Something felt wrong.
Yeah,
because you didn't read this part yet.
Right.
At that point. Yeah.
Well, at that point I didn't
expect it to be this extreme.
I didn't expect it to be this extreme. I will say that. But I did think that something was shady and something's going to happen. Yeah. So when I read this, I was like, oh, it's actually happening.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I kind of got comfortable. Like, oh, well, nothing's happened yet. So maybe it's nothing.
Yeah, considering that we're over halfway through the book.
Right.
You know, we're on page 168 to 170.
Yeah, you're right.
You know.
Yeah, so... the FBI basically emails Elgin and tells him your wife has been in contact with somebody who is, let me see, it's a company called Delhi Virtual Assistance International.
Mm-hmm.
The company does not exist. It is a shell company for a crime syndicate working out of Russia.
Yep.
So, Bernadette has been giving all her information, her bank info, like her... Just everything.
Credit card, bank wiring instructions, social security numbers, driver's license numbers, address, passport numbers, photographs of you, herself, and your daughter.
Yeah.
So identity theft.
Right.
Easily.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, and it's funny, too, because not to get too forward, but what were you going to say?
So, this matter is delicate and urgent. Yesterday, Manjula asked for power of eternity while your family's away in Antarctica.
Yes.
Like, even like, I don't know. I'm not in a manic state of mind, but even that would be weird, like, to me, personally.
I kind of feel like Bernadette, because, I mean, obviously she's not in the right state of mind at this point, but also, mm-hmm. like, I feel like because I don't think they're, like, struggling for funds right now.
No.
So it's like she's become very comfortable in that, and she's kind of like, well, you know, it's fine. Like, she's just being a little too trusting, it feels like, mm-hmm. and probably that does have to do with what's going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she just really didn't think this one through.
No, not at all.
And I love how at the end they're like, P.S., we all love your TED Talk. I'd love to see the latest on Samantha, too, if time permits. Oh, God.
Yeah, so the FBI agent sends her 20 of the hundreds of emails that they pulled, and especially a lengthy one from her to Paul. So they interfered with Bernadette's emails, not
Correct.
Just between Bernadette and Manjula, but Bernadette's emails in general.
Yep.
And the FBI is like, clear your calendar for the rest of the day and week, we're coming. You know, so this, all this stuff, you realize, is unraveling in what, 2 months?
Yeah.
You know, this is a lot of stuff. And especially this last part of these sections mm-hmm. are unraveling within a couple weeks.
Right.
You know, like Samantha, like, they made their plans to go to Antarctica. So the semester ended. She has her straight A's. They're planning to go to Antarctica. Done. And we learned that was 3 weeks away when we picked up. She's like, Christmas, that's 3 weeks away. We have to get passports. We have to get this. We have to get that and this other thing. Please order all the stuff online. Then, and then, boom, clear everything.
Which, now that I'm thinking about it, if they're getting their passports 3 weeks ahead, that's really not. I don't know.
I think they have. I don't know if they said, let's get our passports.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Okay.
But
I was just
using that exact tickets. Get tickets.
Okay, gotcha.
I should have said. Yeah. But this is December 17th.
Yeah.
So there's still another 2 weeks before they go to Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
So this all happened in a week. Like, okay, we're going to go to Antarctica. Boom, FBI is here.
Right? Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man. It's getting real, folks. It's getting exciting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Actually, this whole thing is exciting.
It is exciting. This is turning out to be a very stellar read, I think.
Yeah, I'm liking this. I still don't love the format.
Okay.
Listening to it is a lot better than reading it.
Okay.
I am adamant about that, because it sounds more like a novel than. Because a lot of this feels like a list, and like when they're going through the transcripts or the TED Talk or the letters back and forth between people, I don't like that. It reads like a list to me, even though it is kind of novel-like.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to it sounds like a novel.
So that's interesting, because I think it still reads like a novel, even when I read it. Like, I don't have.
I know
you don't like the format. I have to say, I do. I love the format. I'll say, but I say I love it. I do love it. It's just that it's not like, I'm not quite sure if I love it enough to say, oh my God, this book is amazing. You know, it's just really good to me. But like, I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
So I hate Sulin. Audrey,
I agree with you.
I don't like Sulin. She's getting creepy. She's getting very obsessive.
Yes,
and I don't like that.
I agree. Sulin is going, and that's one thing I was very surprised about. I did not expect to hate Sulin.
I did.
Really?
I did.
That's interesting.
Honestly, I was like, oh. It felt weird. And then that first thing when they went to the church to have their conversation,
yeah.
I was like, oh no.
Well, that's when.
Oh
yep.
no.
Yep.
I was like,
oh no.
I wanted Sulin to be good.
No.
But we didn't see a lot of Bernadette in this section, just like last section.
Yeah.
There's a majority of that was the lengthy letter to Paul from Bernadette.
Yeah.
You know, so B, did I say Bernadette.
You did.
I meant to say B. Okay. Gotcha. We don't see a lot of B in this section.
Correct. Yeah. The most we get is when they're in the Sky Needle.
Yeah.
Space Needle.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's part three of Where'd You Go, Bernadette. Mm-hmm. So next week, next episode, we're going to talk about part four. And it's going to be a fun time. So
yeah, we're almost, there's seven parts to this.
Yeah, so we are
getting close.
Yeah, getting close to the halfway mark, basically. I mean, technically, page number wise, we are at the halfway mark.
But, yeah.
So let's talk about where they can find us.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
We have a website. It is babat.com.
BABATpodcast.com.
Oh, podcast. Yeah. I'm sorry.
What is wrong with
it's you? Fucking saved on my phone. So BABATpodcast.com. Yeah. And you'll be able to find stuff about us. Leave us a voicemail like Brian did. You also can find links to all of our previous episodes. You can send us an email. You can find links to our Instagram, Twitter, Goodreads, Facebook, group, and page. You can also snag that link for Audible trials.
Yes.
So you could get your free subscription that way, which is pretty cool. And Danielle does a really great job with our website. It's really fun to navigate. We have different quotes and pictures for every new book we read. So go on, look at that. Yeah, she also does little pieces of like stuff for each episode. So they're pretty so fun cute. And good. So yeah, check out our website.
Yeah, it's a fun time. So two things. One, next episode we are going to be revealing a special announcement.
I forget what it is. Tell me later.
Yes. I tried to tell you with my eyes like Raina does to Clea. But I guess we don't have that relationship.
I'm glad we don't have that relationship.
What?
I'm sorry. Do you want to answer my email?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, sure. if you ask nicely, which you did. So there you go. I'm going to do it. Anyway, and also, the other thing I want to talk about, you just like got a really intense stare.
Because I'm staring at you and now I know.
Well, I don't remember the website, but I found it yesterday. Hmm. So I'll put it in the show notes. But there's a way that you can actually review our podcast other than just on iTunes.
Really?
Again, I forget what it is. It's like podcast or pod something. I forget. It's just a website. And
that'd be better.
Yeah. So I figured I'll also recommend if you don't use iTunes, you can go here to review
like
us.
Me.
So exactly.
I don't use iTunes.
So there you go. So I will put it
Fuck
in the
off,
show
Apple.
Notes. Brittany.
Samsung all the way.
I mean, yeah, I have a Samsung phone. Yeah. But I love, look, I'm a defender of iTunes. I have an iPod and I love it. But, you know, I'm not an Apple defender, though. I just love the iPod. I personally don't think there's any other quite thing like it anyway. Okay.
Zooms.
Not as good.
I don't know other devices.
I mean, well, because there really aren't. Which, why?
Because it transferred to phones. Why would you hold three things for the price of one?
No way. I like having a separate thing for my music. That's another story for another time.
Anyway, let's wrap this up because I got a potty.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. I think we got all... Oh, yeah. Thanks to Katie Hartung for our art.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin McLeod for our music.
Yeah.
And all that fun stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you all next time. Bye.